Welcome to For the Love of Dogs with Dennis Wolf.
Hey, what a great day. It was beautiful today. Of course, it had rain. But, you know, I wanted to talk about kind of what everybody's doing. I can't even tell you how many people are calling me still. Separation anxiety. Today I was working with a very, very sweet Black Russian Terrier, beautiful dog. You know, but a lot of people are putting their problems onto their dogs, and we keep talking about the same thing, yet it's not going away. So today I'm going to try to focus everybody on trying to improve. Don't you have to improve perfectly by tomorrow, but let's start getting goals. Let's start setting, like when you're losing, if somebody were losing 100 pounds, you don't go from 300 to 200 in a day. It might take a year or two. And I want everybody to think about, just make sure you're a little bit better tomorrow than you were today. And today you should be a little bit better than you were yesterday. Because tomorrow is not promised, as they say, right? So if every day you can just improve a little bit about yourself and about your dog, eventually you're going to have that perfect dog. Don't look at it as an all or nothing every day. Oh, no, I blew my diet and I'm not going to be able to lose that weight. Well, so start January 3rd. Start, you know, July. Don't always set yourself up to fail, because that's what we're doing with our dogs too. So we talked a lot about separation anxiety. Let's talk about protectiveness, how so many dogs are starting to get extremely protective of their owners. Now, it is normal for a male dog, like very much like with humans, for males tend to be more protective over a female owner. But it doesn't mean that you still can't be the dog's mother. Your teenage son could feel protective over you and want to make sure you're okay, but he's still not the boss. So let's start looking at why it is that people are having more dog issues right now, behavioral issues relating to protective aggression, and just protectiveness and anxiety as well. So it's not just separation anxiety, but actually anxiety, because a lot of dogs are picking up on their owner's stresses. And when your dog starts getting stressed because you're stressed, I start teaching people like you guys what to do to de-stress yourself, which then creates less stress in your dog. So imagine for a moment, you're a 7-year-old boy and you're in the Civil War. And I tell you, hey, little Johnny, listen, we're all scared out of our minds, all the adults. So we're going to stay upstairs. Here's a musket and here's some gunpowder and some bullets, except they're really like little round musket shells. And what we're going to do, we're going to be upstairs, so you make sure you take care of us. Now, here's your gun, here's your weapon, and here's all your ammunition and your gunpowder. You take care of us. Now, little Johnny is like, well, wait a minute, who do I shoot? I don't even want to shoot anybody. I'm 7. So little Johnny then starts asking questions. Well, who do I shoot? Don't just leave me here. Oh, Johnny, we are in the North, so our uniforms are blue. But the ones in of the South, they are gray. So if you see any blue coats, don't shoot them. But if you see any gray coats, shoot them right away. Oh, but wait a minute, little Johnny, we forgot to tell you that these soldiers are riding a long, long way. So some of the blue coats might actually look like they're gray because they've got dust and dirt and covered with all this stuff. So make sure you know, don't shoot a blue coat guy that looks like a gray coat guy. And the kid would be going, well, I don't want to do this job. I'm a 7. Why are you making me do that? I don't want to. Well, you take care, Johnny. We'll be upstairs waiting for you. Do a good job. That's what we're doing to our dogs. I know it sounds silly, but that's exactly what we're doing to our dogs. We're running upstairs or in the other room. We're letting our dogs protect us when we don't need to be protected. So, for instance, we've talked about it ad nauseum. What do dogs think when somebody walks up to your front door and rings the bell, or doesn't ring the bell? That's even worse. The dog barks, woo, 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 crazy. Dog is out of control barking. He's ready to go through the glass in the front window. He's jumping on your beautiful door. He's scratching it up. You start yelling, Fluffy, stop it. Knock it off. Cut it out. God damn it. And now, do you sound like the voice of sanity? No, you sound like a crazy person. And the dog starts thinking, oh no, these people who I thought were normal, they're really not. They're completely out of control. And if those people sound out of control to the dog starts looking at it and saying, wait a minute, they're barking with me. So when I'm barking at this man or this individual who's coming up the steps and he's dropping a bomb in our you know, package or whatever, but a bomb, and the dog's thinking it's dangerous. Or he's bringing this stuff and he's leaving it by our front door, or he's pushing it through the slot in our mail slot in our front door. Oh no, what am I going to do? So now you start yelling. The dog starts barking. The dog barks louder. You yell louder. The guy walks away. You yell at him, I'm tired of this. I'm going to call an obedience trainer. Well, that's not the right way to do it either. What you need is a behaviorist. And what you need to do is start taking control of yourself first. Forget about the dog's reaction. How many of you guys are calm and confident and even remotely stable when you are communicating with your dog? So the more you yell, the more the dog thinks, oh no, this idiot's out of control. I better take care of things. Like little Johnny, the more hysterical the adults get and the humans in the family, more hysterical they get, the more the dog thinks, uh-oh, I really am in charge because the inmates are running the asylum right now. So what we want to start doing is taking control of our own sanity, taking control of our own feelings. If you just broke up with your boyfriend or your husband or your wife, or your kids are angry at you and people are yelling at their husbands and wives and kids, and I hate my kids, and kids are hearing this. I mean, we're going to have an entire generation of PTSD for kids who are hearing what's going on in a lot of homes around America and around the world, I'm sure. Well, let's talk about dogs. Let's talk dogs. What are we going to do to help you to fix that? Well, I'm going to start by telling you guys, calm the heck down. You got to calm down. Like my daughter Jody always says, you know, I am calm. It's kind of a family joke. And that's the point. You can't yell at the dog and put out or perpetuate a feeling at all that you're in control. You're not in control. You're out of control. And the more out of control you become, the more in control your dog has to become. He has no choice. There's no grown-ups running the house. So this is where when somebody comes up to the door, because this is a really common thing, especially everybody's getting Amazon deliveries, everybody's getting supermarket deliveries, right? We're getting our mail, we're hopefully getting stimulus checks, which I'm trying to figure out how the government is going to pay for, but that's fine. And we're waiting, so most of us aren't going out, so there are more delivery people and more people in general coming to our houses than used to be. Because remember, the people who used to come to your house, your kids' friends, oh, the dog knows the kids' friends. You're a contractor. Oh, he knows the contractor. Well, all these people aren't coming. Who is coming? Strangers. And a lot of dogs who were formerly totally fine with things and people, they're starting to be impacted very negatively. And what's starting to happen is dogs are starting to jump at doors, lunge at doors, run outdoors, attack neighbors and people they haven't seen because everyone's masked, everyone's gloved, they're wearing hats, they're wearing coveralls. Because nobody wants to get sick. And what's happening is the dogs are looking at these people. We always know, oh, my dog doesn't like men with hats. Well, guess what? Everybody's not only got hats, they've got gloves, they've got scarves over their mouths, they wear sunglasses. Everybody basically looks like the Unabomber right now. And your dog looks at that and goes, oh no, I've heard the zombie apocalypse is coming. Here's the zombie apocalypse. Look, they're all coming up and they're leaving things and nobody's smiling. And hey, how could you tell if somebody's smiling? They've got a mask over their face. So dogs are starting to really pick up on this, unfortunately, and they're starting to become much more aggressive. You may see the best dog in the world. You had a dog for 5 years, best dog in the world, and he just is perfect and loves people and loves kids and loves animals. But now, 2.5 months later, he hasn't seen dogs, people, and animals a lot, right? And children. Nobody's coming in now because of COVID. So the dogs and then the people who are coming in are all covered. So the dogs are starting to look at people as potential threats and danger. Stranger danger. Okay. So now how do you fix that? Well, what you start doing is you take your dog out for a walk. You put him on his gentle leader, or if he's a good dog like mine, you just put a little slip lead or whatever you want on him. You take a walk, and you make sure that your dog is not reacting to children, to bicycles, to skateboards, to men in uniforms, to people coming up to the front door. If your dog is reactive, I'm going to tell you what to do right now. First thing you need to do in order for your dog to not be reactive to things is start out by taking the dog and bringing your dog where you normally would go. One thing you can do, get in the car. I mean, and don't break curfew, although I think we're coming out of it. But if you're going somewhere, and especially if it's not hot out, if it's not a bad day, and you're not going to be, you know, leaving the car. So, like, don't put your dog in the car and you go to the supermarket. That would be just stupid. But if you're dropping something at the post office and you're just going to go to the post office box, put your dog in the car. Take him out. Make sure he's not barking at other people. Start getting a little normalcy. If you're going to, you know, let's say you're going to pick something up or you're going outside and gardening, put your dog on a tether or put the dog around your waist on a long leash, let him be outside with you. Let him see and let him get a little bit of a sense of normalcy. And that's great for you too, because who doesn't want to be outside with their puppies in this time and this weather? It's gorgeous. Even when it's raining, it's not cold. And, you know, we're all coming out of this and it's spring. We see all the beautiful flowers and we see all the gorgeous foliage out there. So start enjoying things, because what I look at and what seems to be the issue is that people are, for the most part, not doing the things they used to do. And when you're not doing the things you used to do, that's when you start having issues, because the dog's whole schedule has been disrupted. So what I do now, and I'm still doing as much as I was before, a lot of patients that I'm seeing now, but I'm starting to really see dogs becoming way more protective and possessive over people, over their homes, over cars, over pieces of the home. For instance, if the dog, you know, you say, "Ooh, I'm worried about COVID, so I'm not letting my dog sleep up in bed with me anymore." Well, that's fine, but the problem is if the dog is sleeping downstairs, roaming around your main floor the whole day, what happens? The dog starts feeling protective and possessive over it. So now the stranger danger, right? Danger rings doorbells. And now the person, the fireman who's got to investigate a call, or the UPS man, or the Chinese delivery, food delivery guy, whoever it is, comes to your door and your dog's like personally offended, like, "Oh my goodness, how could you come to my door? I'm chasing everyone away." And the dog starts barking like crazy. The dog starts acting aggressively. And now all of a sudden, your best dog in the world is kind of creating havoc. So how do you fix that? Well, one thing I always say to people is when you come in your front door, okay, it doesn't matter if you live in a one-room apartment or if you live in a 25,000 square foot house. What do we not do when we live in the place versus when we're a guest? Bing, bong, there you go. We ring the bell or we knock on the door when we're a stranger knocking on the door to go into a home or an apartment where we are not living. So now every time the doorbell rings, or every time there's a knock at the door, or any time there's somebody walking down the hallway and the dog hears it, he says, "Oh no, there's someone trying to hurt my owner. I'm not going to allow that." And what happens? Yep, you guessed it. The dog starts becoming aggressive. We don't want that to happen, but it's going to happen if you're not careful and if you don't start recreating and reenacting some of the scenarios that you had before. If you come in, knock on the door, even if you're coming in the bedroom, knock on the door so the dog gets used to being, you know, hearing the knocking and saying, "Oh, it's only mommy. Oh, look, that was a stranger. Oh, look, it's daddy. Oh, look, there's a stranger. Oh, look, it's brother. Oh, that's only a stranger." Okay, well, I guess everybody comes in and out through the front door. Everybody rings and knocks. So I guess since everybody does it the same, it's probably fine. And then I don't have to worry about taking care of things and providing and protecting. And that's exactly what's going on. So how do we fix that? Well, start, you know, spend a little time. We all have time because we're home. Not everybody, but a lot of people are home. If your dog starts out and starts barking, or if the dog lunges, or if the dog is acting kind of erratically, and if you've cleared it and you know it's definitely not a medical issue, then it's incumbent upon you to figure out why your dog is doing that. So we always look for physical things first. If physically the dog is totally fine, then it's more important for you to, you know, basically take care of the immediate situation, right? So like, let's say somebody comes to the door, it's a stranger, and you haven't practiced yet. Well, don't open the door a little crack and halfway sneak out and say, oh, my dog's aggressive, so can you go away? That's where, say, hold on a moment, I'll be right with you. Go get your leash or your leash with your gentle leader. Go open the door. Go obviously holding the dog on the leash behind you, not in front of you, people. I've told people to do this for years, and some people just don't get it. Some people, I don't know why they don't get it, but they say, well, I had him on a leash, but he's on a leash and he's 10 feet out ahead of you, so now he's your sentry. Put him on a short leash, put him beside you or behind you, keep him back, but you need to be between him, your dog, and the dangerous or scary person who's coming into the house. In that way, because you're blocking, which is one of the dominant behaviors, because you're blocking his path and you're in front of him, between him and the danger, you're showing him in a very physical way, not physically like hitting or hurting, but physically that he looks, I call it positional dominance. Positionally, you are closer to the dangerous or scary thing. Therefore, you are positionally dominant or positionally confident in control of whoever's behind you. So think about if somebody were shooting a gun at you or throwing something or had a dart or whatever and was throwing something at you, and you had your two-year-old child with you. Would you stick the child up in the air in front of you? No, of course you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't ever think to do that. So the goal here for everything is for you to show the dog that you're in charge, and because you're in charge, you are putting yourself in that position of being closer to the danger than the dog is. Dogs get it because dogs are dogs, and dogs do what dogs do because they are dogs. So instead of yelling at the dog, dog, cut it out, knock it off, don't do that, oh my God, you're embarrassing me, don't you see what you're doing? Our neighbors think you're crazy. No, your neighbors probably think you're crazy. Start placing the dog where you want him or her. And the goal here is to show the dog, not by harming the dog or hitting the dog or using shock collars or things, but just to show the dog that you are placing yourself closer to that danger than he is. He will figure out that, oh, wow, okay, cool, I didn't realize you're in charge. You're the mom, that's why. So I'll just go hang out here. I'll just go, you know, lick myself or go where, you know, lay down on a bed under a table or go look for a cookie or a bone to chew on. That's what your dog is going to think. So that's what we want him to do. Just remember, if the doorbell rang, you wouldn't probably, I don't know, some of you guys might, but think about it, the doorbell rings. Do you yell at the doorbell, shut up, cut it out, knock it off, you stupid doorbell, stop ringing? Think about Halloween, right? Maybe your doorbell, you might yell at the doorbell or be nasty to kids because they're ringing the doorbell. But the other 364 and a quarter days a year, you don't have your doorbell ringing constantly. So you wouldn't yell at the doorbell. The doorbell is an alert to tell you that somebody is there. Think of your dog as your doorbell. Your dog is just there to tell you, to alert you that there is something there. And if you think of it that way, you will never yell at your dog again. So why is your dog barking? Well, he's barking either because he's protecting out of dominance. He's protecting you. He's trying desperately to, you know, to protect his home, to take care of everybody in his home. But really, if you think about it, that's not the right way, right? Dogs shouldn't be barking to protect the home and chase somebody away, even though that's what happens. The dog should bark, woo, 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 right? Bark a few times and alert you that there's someone at the front door, just like the doorbell alerts you. And then you go and answer the door. So when you go toward the door to answer it, your dog should back away from the door without being told. Now, obviously, you guys aren't me, and you guys haven't had us, you know, at your home. If you have, then you know that's exactly what happens. But you have to teach the dogs. That's why, you know, I wrote a lot of books, and one of them is Shh Happens, S-H-H-H Happens, Dog Behavior 101. And you can get that on Amazon. It's an ebook, and it's less than 10 bucks. And it has all these things in it. And then you can actually email or call or write and let us know, and we will try to help you with any specifics. But United Canine Professionals, we come to your home, and that's why we do what we do, to help people to understand and have a better relationship with their dogs. Make it common sense, maybe, but make it common sense and make it just what you do, your new habit. When the dog is barking, don't yell at them. If your dog is barking at the door, go see what's there. But practice it. Remember, the dog is alerting to the doorbell right now. And the reason he's alerting to the doorbell is that he's not used to having that volume of people. You also have to make sure you're ringing the doorbell when you come in and make that a part of your daily routine. Have everybody go out the back door, come in the front door, bing, bong, bing, bong. Come in, just ignore the dog. No excitement at the front door. So you start having a dog who, instead of he's, you know, lunging and barking, growling at the door, he's on the couch looking like a lazy bum, like my guys, like my Rhodesian Ridgebacks do. And he's looking out and going, huh, hopefully, yeah, mom's taking care of it. I can close my eye and go back to sleep. That's what we want. If you do have a problem, or if you have a dog with aggression, obviously we're not going to fix that on the phone. We're not going to fix that on the radio. But if you need help, you can call us at 855-449-9288. If somebody answers that is not able to help you, we will direct you to someone who can. We also do give you some help free of charge, so feel free to call the 855-449-9288 number. It's for UnitedCaninePros.com. And you'll see a huge difference in your dog once you stop yelling at him. Don't yell at him. If you wouldn't yell at the doorbell, then don't yell at your dog. Start going inside. Start coming back out. Go in and go out again. Ring the doorbell when you go out. Ring the doorbell when you go in. The dog will start realizing again that, oh, this is great. Mom goes out. Mom comes in. I don't have to worry, because the doorbell doesn't mean danger anymore. It means somebody's coming in. And it doesn't matter who it is, because if mom or dad or whoever, right, the owner, if they are here or not, they have made sure that I am safe, that I'm provided for, and I'm protected. So I don't need to worry about that. And then they stop reacting like that. The key here is not that, oh, just don't yell and don't do anything. The key is investigate it. Like if you heard somebody screaming in the middle of the night, and I've seen people do this kind of stuff, it just drives me nuts. You see or you hear somebody screaming in the middle of the night and you're like, uh-oh, I hope everybody's okay. Oh, look, there's no more screaming. I must be fine. No, maybe the person just got shot and they just died and they were screaming for help and now they got killed because nobody called the police. Don't assume that because you just ignore it that it's going to go away, because it's probably not going to go away. So let's look at behavioral issues of dogs as they're not going to go away on their own, because once they start, they're going somewhere. It's kind of like, you know, if you take a little bit of water and you push it forward, kind of like in a little wave pool. But if nothing is there to block it and change it, it'll get to the other side and it will probably have grown into like a tidal wave, because nothing stopped it. If it has something stopping it coming back the other way, then it kind of dissipates. They move through each other a bit, and it won't be nearly as bad. And that's the same thing with dogs. Don't let the behaviors just go. Don't let them, you know, oh, well, you know, we're not going to be doing this. So he's growling at people who come in the door. No, that's not okay. And please, 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 when your dog is at the front door barking or at a window barking or growling or barking or snarling at a person or dog on the road, when you're walking, wherever it is, please do not tell the dog, oh, Fluffy, it's okay, Fluffy. It's okay. Oh, great. It's okay to growl at people and lunge at people and bark at dogs and snap and lunge at dogs. Oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay. So don't tell the dog it's okay because it's not. And start thinking like a dog. Start imagining what you need to do to elicit a calm and confident response from the dog. And I guarantee you that one of the ways that you can calm the dog is not by screaming at the top of your lungs, flailing your arms, and yelling profanities and saying, Fluffy, you idiot! Fluffy, shut up! Cut it out! Fluffy, no! Fluffy, no! And you're screaming at your dog, and then when you try to call your dog, you wonder why Fluffy looks at you and goes, I'm not coming to you. But you come when I have food. Well, yeah, because you kind of got me on that. I can't get my own food. I can't hunt because you locked me in a house, and I don't have enough food. So, yeah, so that's what happens. So you have to start thinking like a dog. Stop yelling at your dogs. Stop, you know, disciplining them. Start teaching them. It's about teaching, and then your timing has to be really good so that when the dog stops doing the bad behavior and now it does something good, you can calmly pet him. Don't get him amped up, but you can calmly pet him. So let's say that same scenario. The dog is barking at the front door. You back the dog up away from the door using the floor rule, which you'll read in my book. You back the dog away gently, calmly, without being upset. The dog happens to just sit on his own. Good. Give him a little pet. Ignore him. Go back to the door. Chances are he's going to do it again. He's going to get up again. You have to repeat it a few times. It's my rule of threes, Janice's rule of threes. Always make sure that you do everything at least three times, because that's where habits are starting to be made. And that's repatterning, reprogramming, if you would, the dog's behavior by reprogramming the brain and what he's thinking. So you go to the door, you back the dog away, you shush him, you walk back to the door. If he moves, go back again. Hold on, I'll be right there, to the UPS man or whoever it is. And after probably the third time, you're going to see your dog's going to be much less reactive. You go, you open the door. Hi, how are you? Keep your back to the door, to the door frame, so you don't have a problem where the dog scoots out. But it's all in my book, and it's much easier when you actually see the pictures and you actually see the book. But change the way you've been doing things. Instead of yelling, start showing the dog, physically show him what you want him to do. It's kind of like when you're teaching a child how to write and you do something called hand over hand. Anybody who's in the special needs community knows what that is. Hand over hand is guiding the other person's hand to create muscle memory. Same thing with the dog. You're basically guiding the dog into doing the right behavior that you do want, and then reinforcing, not rewarding. We're not giving him a reward. We're reinforcing that moment by giving him a little pet or by snuggling him or whatever he likes to do. And then we let him have a little time, have a minute or two to just vegetate for a moment, and then we start up again. We don't want to overburden or overtax the dog, so we don't want to do too much, because if you do too much, it's almost sometimes worse than doing too little. And you now know what to do in order to start teaching your dog and getting a little bit of, if you do have some aggression or some growliness going on, then you know now what to do. You can call us at 855-4-CANINE-PROS, 855-449-9288, and you'll be able to, have help that you need. You'll be able to have valuable, viable help, and your dog will start improving. But again, don't look at it as, oh, he's got to be perfect tomorrow. Well, that's not going to happen. Try losing 100 pounds in a day without cutting a body part off. So think about it and go get yourself a little drink or whatever you need. Go get some coconut water or Coca-Cola or whatever you like to drink. Go get that and come back, because we are going to be back in just a moment. So stay tuned. And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, earlier today on our other show, we were talking about how we can change the dogs and change the behavior by changing what we do. Well, one of the things I do want to also address right now is how you got to help your service dog. If you have a real legit, either professionally trained, and by that I do not mean some local trainer who, you know, has never trained a service dog or has trained one and thinks it's a service dog. But I'm talking about your dog that is actually professionally trained by a reputable agency or self-trained by you. But I don't worry as much about the self-trained dogs. I'm going to tell you why. If you have the discipline to train your own dog to be a service dog level, where the dog is truly trained and it was set up right, because a lot of dogs, you can try to self-train or professionally train a dog that just doesn't have it. You're not going to be able to train it. It's just not going to work. But if typically the people, and there are not a lot of them, but the people who are able to self-train dogs, you don't have the issues as if you had professional, like a reputable agency like Merlin's Kids or, you know, some of the other ones that are out there, because you weren't a part of the whole training process. But a self-trained dog, if you were able to train your dog by yourself or with the help of somebody who really knows what he or she's doing, you are going to be less affected because you're still practicing, because every day you're going to be training. So you guys aren't probably going to get out of practice as much. But the people who used to go to school and you have a dog, whether you trained it or somebody who's very reputable trained it, those dogs need to be practiced. You can't just not use the dog for 3 months and then go out again and expect that dog to be perfect. It doesn't make sense. It's like not driving your car for the whole winter and then expecting it to start up and run perfectly. No, it's going to backfire. It's going to be dusty. It's going to be rusty. It's not going to be as good as it was before. So if you do have a dog that you self-trained, you probably are actually fine right now with things. If it's all well-trained, if you have problems, you can reach out to us. You can actually even email us at United K9 Pros, the letter K number 9, UnitedK9Pros@gmail.com. And we will, you know, help you. Just tell us what the problem is, and we will try to help you as much as we can. But the people who have service dogs, especially those who were going to work with you, they were going to school with you, they were going to training classes or wherever, and now you're not doing that anymore. And because you're not doing that anymore, the dogs are starting to get woefully out of practice. So I would start now, folks. Put your dog in vest. Practice your skills. If you have been eating a lot, what I've seen actually, which is kind of sadly funny, is the people with diabetic alert dogs. Because when you're out, you don't always remember to eat like when you're home, right? So a lot of people, and I was just talking to somebody today, as a matter of fact, who has a dog that we trained for her to be for diabetic alert. And the dog, for whatever reason, she said that the dog doesn't seem to be alerting me, but when I check my blood sugar is fine. I'm like, well, the dog's not supposed to alert you. But because when you go out and you're in your day-to-day activities, you don't always remember to eat. So you could have a low blood sugar episode. Or, you know, you go out with your friends and you have like a slushie or something that has a lot of sugar, and now your blood sugar climbs. When you're at home, probably you and your parents and family members are in there in your house, and you're eating more frequently, right? Because if you're diabetic and you eat every 2 hours, or if you're hypoglycemic, you eat every 2 hours or so, you typically don't have as many issues. You eat smaller meals, more close together, rather than eating like one or two big meals a day. So if you're able to eat every 2 hours or just snack kind of a little bit totally during the day, you're probably not going to have highs and lows. Now, I'm not at all offering you the concept that you're going to stop eating so you can get low blood sugar episodes, or eat sugar so you can get high blood sugar episodes. But if you do have one, start saving those samples. Start saving them, even if with a cheek swab or however you do it. Save those and try to test your dog out with them. Because if the dog isn't going to be used because you're not having highs and lows anymore, well, what do you need the dog for? The dog is only able to alert when it knows what to alert to. And if you find that you're not having these episodes, or because you're eating differently, or you're, you know, maybe packed on a few pounds and you tend to have fewer episodes sometimes when you have a little bit more body weight, somebody who's extremely thin might have more susceptibility to having low blood sugar episodes, and also maybe low blood pressure, which can kind of sink in together and create havoc. I know, because I have that sometimes myself. But thinking about it, you really have to practice. So if you can't practice that, at least practice your public access exposure. Go out. Now, I'm not telling you to break your quarantine, okay? But what I am telling you is when you do go out, like I said, go to the post office, you go to the bank, even though the dog is in the car with you, take your dog with you. Put him in what we call it safe spot. Put him in a downstay in the back seat. We do things very differently, so I'll try to put it into normal terms that people would understand. So do a downstay in the back seat of the car. Walk around the block and stop in the middle of the block, not in the middle of the street, but in the middle of the block or a cul-de-sac, and put down whatever mat you use for your dog to safe spot or to do a downstay. Put the dog in that, walk away. You know, obviously, don't make sure you're not going to have a dog who's going to run away and go chase a cat or something. If it does that in vest, or it does that out of vest, you got bigger problems with your supposed service dog. But you see what I'm saying? Just there are definitely ways that you can still continue to work and use the opportunity that you have of having a lot of time. You can even make things up. So let's say you don't have a shopping cart, but you have, a bicycle. Take your bicycle out, walk your bicycle with your dog on one side, and then walk around with the bicycle like you were walking across a crosswalk. And you can do the same thing. Take the bicycle, put it on the other side, or put the dog on the other side. Remember, dogs are not ambidextrous, just like racehorses. Horses are better on one side than they are to the other. Like most people are righties, some are lefties. But if you take somebody who's a righty and try to teach them how to write lefty, it takes them a long time. Eventually they can do it. But if you're right dominant versus left dominant, it's going to be very hard to switch. So you want to do the same thing with your dog. Do your public access. Go out. Do stuff. And I'm not telling you to break your curfew. I'm just saying make sure that whenever you're going anywhere, that you have to go anyway, take the dog with you, or put the dog in vest and work him in your living room, work him in your basement, work him, in the front yard or backyard, in different places, just to keep the skills fresh, so that when this is all over, and we don't even know when it's going to be over or if it's going to be over, you'll at least have a dog who's still sharp. That's the key, is having dogs that stay sharp and stay focused on you. If you have your dog in vest, and here's another big problem I'm seeing, if you have your dog in vest and the dog is in your home, so now before that, you were at work and there weren't a lot of people around. It was just you and your dog, right? It's just you and your dog. Well, now your home is your family, and your family is petting the dog, and maybe the dog doesn't alert to you now because everybody else is petting the dog, feeding the dog, and getting involved in, what the dog is doing. But that's not really good, because the dog's focus for service dogs, dog's focus is to serve an individual. So if the dog is getting fed by others and walked by others and cared for by others, don't be surprised when this whole thing is over. If that dog is not your service dog anymore and is focusing more on other people than it is on you. I bet you didn't think about that. But, you know, when this is over, we've got to make sure that your dog is sharp and your dog is on top of all the behaviors and all of the skills and tasks that he or she has been trained to do. And this is a great way to do it. Okay, I also want to talk about, and this goes for the from shelter dog to service dog, as well as for the love a dog people, you got to be careful what these dogs are getting access to. I am seeing so many dogs who are eating grapes, they're eating onions, they're eating peppers, they're eating mushrooms. They're doing all kinds of things that they shouldn't be doing. Do you know why that's happening? I'll tell you why it's happening. Because people are slobs. So when you eat your meal, look down to make sure as you're eating that you haven't dropped anything. Remember, grapes can be deadly. We just had a dog, was one of Wyatt's kids that died from, basically the kidneys shut down. And the kidneys shut down because the boy, the grandson of the owner, had been feeding him grapes. We didn't know. And not a lot of grapes. He didn't eat like thousands of grapes. He probably ate 10 or 20 grapes over the course of a few months. But this particular dog was very sensitive, apparently, and ended up dying young, like at 8 years old, which is quite young for a Ridgeback, or for one of mine, certainly. They live, 14, 15, 16 years. So that was extremely young, and that's what happened. So we know grapes. So if you have kids, supervise them. Well, grapes can be choking hazards anyway, but even if you cut them into little pieces so the child doesn't choke, make sure those don't fall down. A lot of poisons, and I've seen people, and I want to just sometimes scream, a lot of poisons that kids have access to, like grapes, onions, antifreeze, right? Not that kids have that, but, it's in our garages. Those things don't poison you immediately. People are used to, like, Romeo and Juliet, oh, drink poison, we'll all die immediately. That's not the way it works. So some things like arsenic builds up in your body in time. It takes over time, over months, over a year. There are a lot of chemicals and pesticides, and there are onions, grapes, things like that, that are bad for your dog, that your dog could ingest a glass of antifreeze, and you may not know about it, and a week or two later, he starts getting sick. Doesn't always get sick right away. Or grapes. It could be months later. So I don't want you to say, oh my gosh, he ate a grape that my nephew left there. But you do have to be aware of that. So people are so used to this immediate poison, like on TV, like somebody drinks poison and goes, I've been poisoned, and then they die. That's not the way it works with all poisons. There are a lot of things that are toxic to dogs that you may not know about. Some things can cause immediate seizures within, minutes or hours. But there are many, many poisons that are toxic, foods and other things that are toxic to dogs. Just think about it. If your dog ate a sharp object and you didn't see him eat it, how would you know what the dog did? And maybe the sharp object doesn't pass through. Maybe it does pass through, which is almost worse, and it cuts up all the intestines. And you say, gee, I think I walked him too much yesterday, or he was at the dog park too much, because he doesn't seem to be energetic. He seems lethargic. Well, he's lethargic because he's bleeding out internally, and he's probably septic. But you don't find out about it immediately. So remember that some poisons, many poisons, and maybe even many conditions are not immediate. And so you have to think about it to make sure that you're very aware of what's there. Also making sure, because everybody's got their little kids home now, right, with this whole thing, make sure you put your medications or anything that could even remotely be dangerous or toxic to a child or to a dog, put it up in either a locked cabinet or in a locked room or somewhere away from where kids are, because kids can knock over a bottle of pills and go, oh, I don't want those. And your dog comes along and licks up a thing of Toprol pills and has a massive episode with his heart, because it changes the rhythm and it can stop the heart. So there are a lot of drugs that are out, and a lot of us, I'm not, but a lot of people I know are on anti-anxiety medication. So if you're on an anxiety medication and you drop that on the floor, I mean, like, we're talking super, super, super dangerous. So there are things out there that could be very dangerous. We want to make sure they stay off the floor. So we want to make sure they stay out of the hands of the littles in our lives. If you have a dog who's always hungry and is counter surfing, please put those things away. I've seen dogs, there was a lady with a Havanese that the dog literally, and I've seen this many times before, but it was just a little dog. It was like 11 or 12 pounds. The dog was on her dining room table eating the flower arrangement that she made for Thanksgiving that was all, you know, dried artificial and natural flowers and things. The dog was eating all that. She's like, oh no, is it dangerous? Oh no, it's just all twigs. Well, there are things in there that could be deadly to dogs. And if not deadly on their own, they could be very harmful or deadly because of the shape. A lot of times dogs get into trouble not because of what the material is that they ate, like with rawhide. It's how the shape does not pass through. So if you have, let's say, a triangular shape, that triangular shape can lodge in the stomach or, more likely, in the intestines. And once it happens, now nothing can pass through it, right? Or maybe just a little bit of liquid. Your dog gets diarrhea. Your dog starts getting abdominal pain. He might start to bloat. He's not feeling well. He's not himself. He's not eating and drinking. And here you are saying, well, I don't know what happened. Well, you have to start being a little bit more careful, making sure that kids aren't leaving their little toys around, making sure that when your dog is, when your kids are playing, your dog is somewhere where you know where he's not eating a toy, or the kids are feeding him something that he shouldn't have. And have a talk with your kids, too. Listen, best thing in the world is to explain to your children why they should not be doing what they're doing, why they should not be feeding the dog grapes, why they should not be feeding the dog from the table. It's just common sense. You just got to think about, make sure your kids and make sure everybody understands, even if you have to put post-it notes or stickers or something anywhere so that the kids know not to give the dog these things. And if they are eating, make them understand. You don't have to say, oh, the dog's going to die because you dropped all these onions down there, and over the course of a month, the dog's been eating onions every day. What you need to do is just tell them, you know how when you eat the wrong food, you get a bellyache? Well, that can happen to our dog too, but their bellyaches can be so bad that they get really, really sick. And then the kids will be more careful and leave, which is, I think, a great idea for everybody. Leave like a Ziploc bag in the middle of the table near your fruit basket or whatever you have in the middle of the table, and leave a few treats in there. Or better yet is a container, like an old vitamin container. Remember, I used NuVet vitamins, NUVET. I know somebody asked me to put that together for them today. It's order code 86686. So like the NuVet vitamins, which are phenomenal because they boost the immune system. When those are done and my dogs are finished with them, my dogs like love these vitamins, like doggy crack. But what I'll do is I'll put dog treats in there and I'll leave it in the middle of the table. This way, if they get it, there's, a half a dozen dog treats in there and I hear it, so I can come and fix it. But if they do get into it and eat it, they're not eating medicine, they're just eating a few cookies. But that's really, really very, very handy if you do want to do that and keep some treats there. And then you can also moderate and kind of monitor how much the kids are feeding, how many treats they're getting. Just remember, you get a dog who's fat, dog who's overweight, it's going to have way more health issues. It's going to cost you way more money to take care of it. Everything is more expensive. and you're potentially harming the dog's heart and lungs and other organ systems, because a lot of extra weight is not good for anyone. And that's important to remember. So, you know, we've talked about a lot today. Next week, I'm actually going to have an amazing guest. She's a lifelong firefighter. Well, I'll let you hear her story, but she lost well over 100 pounds, which I just am so proud of her. And she's been involved in nutrition and all for humans, like I'm involved in nutrition for dogs. And it's really interesting, some of the parallels about, it's not just feeding a specific food or giving a specific vitamin, although those are certainly very important, especially like the NuVet vitamins. But the key is, it's moderation, and it's doing many things. So if you're giving your dog really good kibble, but you're feeding him a treat containing wheat and sugar, don't expect the good things to cancel out the bad. Sometimes the bad things are still going to harm. So we're going to talk about that. And then in 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to have a wonderful autistic young man on the phone and on for an interview with us. Very exciting. And he's going to talk about some things relating to how he likes animals and what animals do for him. So we've got some nice guests coming up that I think you're going to really enjoy. But for now, I'm going to tell you, please, please, please start working on a better relationship with your dog, with your siblings, with your kids, with your husband or wife. Start changing today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait for this whole thing to be over. You know, just go do it today. Seize the moment, seize the day, and start doing things that are good for you and good for your dog. Stay happy, stay healthy, above all, stay safe, and we'll all get through this together. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. I hope everybody comes back next Friday to listen to our great interviews, and just have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.